Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host today, Fred Monroe. Our goal on Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible, valid information and insightful things about the diversity of our community, community members, and things going on in the community. Central Coast Voices really wants to address things that are going on today that affect choices that you make, they affect our community of tomorrow, and they affect ramifications of things that happen in your daily life that sometimes you don't think about and sometimes you haven't thought about yet, but they're coming up. Hopefully there are good things coming up. Sometimes they can be startling things coming up. As I've told you before, the Action for Healthy Communities is the organization that puts this together along with KCBX. And they have a report out that they do every 3 years, which is a statistical look at San Luis Obispo County. The report is called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. The latest report was republished in December of last year, 2013. The full report, which is some fascinating information and very interesting to look at, is available as a free PDF that you can review online or download the entire document, and that is at www.actionslo.org, and that's a fascinating report and gives you some idea of things that are going on in the county. Today we're going to talk about exposing real estate scams and frauds, something that we would like to believe is not very common or not very important to talk about, but that's really not the case. And with us today, we have Ruby Raymond, who's the president of ReSafe, and Joe Preon, who is the vice president of ReSafe, and Fred Flum, who is an investigator with the DA's office. And we'll get into a discussion with them in a couple of minutes, but there's a few things I want to share with you that I found fascinating to hear about when I first heard about the ReSafe program. And that was that San Luis Obispo County, these are statistics on a per capita basis because we realize we're not a terribly populated county. So per capita, San Luis Obispo County last year had more real estate fraud than any other county in California, and that puts us in fourth place nationally. And when you think about how many counties there are in the country, that's a startling statistic that a community that we think about as being very popular, very relaxed, very friendly, very engaging, is also someplace where an awful lot of fraud goes on. This is, of course, Central Coast Voices, as I've told you, and this is a community radio program of KCBX. And as part of the community, we'd like you to be part of the discussion. You can give us a call at 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. We will take your calls during the program. And this is a topic that I wish we didn't have to talk about, but it's, as often happens, we're talking about things in our community that we need to find ways to remedy as opposed to just enjoying them the way they are. So, Ruby, you want to start and tell us about the start of ReSafe and how it came about and what it is as an organization?
Yes, thank you, Fred, and thank you for having us today. Essentially, ReSafe was brought about after a meeting that I attended at the California Association of Realtors, and it was a meeting being held by REFAT, which is the fraud group in Ventura County, and it really brought to my attention the importance of such a task force. And at the time, I thought, you know, I don't really know that we need one in San Luis Obispo County. But after getting back and people's involvement and getting a group started, it rapidly became apparent that there was a need, unfortunately. So it started 3 years ago. It's a not-for-profit organization, and it's been slow in getting it organized. It's a group of professionals in the industry and other people involved, such as law enforcement agencies. And we've finally come together, and this year we had a fantastic forum in the community. And it's been because of dedicated time from professionals in the industry and title companies and appraisers and so on that we've been able to get organized. And our main objective is education. education towards preventing the situation before it occurs.
So most people generally assume that fraud is something that only happens because the victim gets greedy. It's the proverbial, if it sounds better, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. And people only believe that when it doesn't apply to them, because if it sounds too good to be true, but they're going to make some money on it, all of a sudden they're very interested. That seems like a hook that we probably have to look at.
Well, it's, really in the past 4 years, it became very prevalent, due mostly because there was a lot of distress in the market. And there was a lot of people in distress, and there still are some. And so, unfortunately, these people are very good at obtaining your confidence and your trust, and they go after those people who are in distress, and they seem to give them an out, not knowing what's necessarily legal and not legal. You know, if it sounds good, you can help me, great. Where do I sign?
I think what we may be seeing now is, because interest rates on what you can get on your investments are very low, and real estate loans are still a pretty good deal, people are just looking for better ways to make money. So you're not talking about fraud that always applies to someone buying a piece of real estate. You're often talking about fraud that involves people who are investing money in someone else's real estate, I guess.
There is such a diverse number and types of fraud and scams that are currently going on in the marketplace. So it goes right across everything. It can be from investing your money. It can be a property owner in distress trying to figure out the best way to deal with that situation. It can be somebody calling you and giving you better terms on your loan. There's so many different kinds of scams going on. It's hard for us in law enforcement agencies to keep up. Unfortunately, we're usually behind the game. So it's when people start reporting that we find out what's going on. And that's why it's so important for people to report. Essentially, we can educate people on what not to do. And if they're being approached by people asking them to do things like this, then please call our hotline or please call the DA's office, because then you know, as you say, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah. Folks, I want to remind you that this is a call-in program on Central Coast Voices, and we're talking about real estate scams and frauds today. You're welcome to give us a call, 805-781-3875. We would enjoy hearing your perspective on this, and if it's something that's affected you, maybe some information about what you've seen happen in your life or your community. Fred, the DA's office obviously looks at a lot of situations, and one of the first things I think that came up when we started talking about doing a program about this was that there have been a number of major, I don't want to call them scams, major real estate activities in the county that have involved a lot of money that may have worked out real well if the economy hadn't turned sour. So I think a lot of people think that this only happens in a down economy, but we didn't have a down economy for that long. Where are you seeing it predominantly show up in the community?
As of late, not so many of the large scams or issues where people have become victims. But the smaller ones, when I say smaller, more in the line of forgeries, application fraud, when somebody puts information on a loan application that's not true or correct, or omits something that enables them to obtain a loan. There are also other areas where these mortgage or mortgage fraud issues come in, where documents are recorded. And once there, those are forged also, that people are able to obtain property.
So in a lot of cases, we would think that fraud usually is on the side of someone trying to sell you something, but it really is a two-edged sword. You're seeing fraud against people who are selling things by people who are giving illicit information about what their ability to repay a loan is or ability to acquire a piece of property. So it works both ways.
Yes, it does. Another area that Ruby had mentioned where somebody is in need of assistance and they're looking for help possibly in refinancing, new loans, those types of things. And there are people that, not necessarily just in our county, but other counties, and if they are working in our county, are definitely working in other counties at the same time, letting people know or saying, hey, I can help you out. You just need to pay me X amount of dollars and I'll do the work for you and get this straightened out. Legally, they cannot take fees up front. If somebody offers to do work for you, the work needs to be completed first, and then they can be compensated.
Yeah. One of the things when I was looking at some of the information you all shared with us before we put the program together was the concept that that upfront fees are not legit. How do you define – actually, Joe, can you get into this? How do you define an upfront fee? And because someone might say we want a deposit, but that's not an upfront fee. So if I need to put a deposit on a piece of property and there are certain circumstances where the deposit may not be refundable if I back out of a deal – that's not considered an upfront fee. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that would fall into opening up an escrow, and you have a third party a vendor being the escrow company. Mm-hmm. They are a non-partial company, and they take the money, so they hold it, and so you have two entities trusting in that third party. So, yeah, that is not an upfront fee. That was one of the reasons why I got involved with ReSafe, being an active broker in the county. Starting to hear a lot of people talking about emails that they had received, phone calls that they had received, asking for funds up front. Real estate is one of the few businesses where we don't get paid until the very end. And it's hard for people to understand that because we live in a society where we pay for it and then we get the services. But we are not that way in real estate.
We talked about your position, Ruby and you, Joe, in this organization. You're both realtors. Actually, I guess we'd say real estate brokers, is that because I know there's different terms we can use and different things that apply differently. But this is something that I think the real estate brokerage community probably does a pretty good job of self-policing, which is why you're involved, I think. You're looking at some of your peers that may be giving you a bad name. Because if somebody gets messed over in a deal that involves a real estate broker, the presumption all of a sudden for a lot of people is, oh, then real estate brokers are the problem as opposed to this individual. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably something that you may be some motivation for you to be involved in this, because trying to clean up your own industry is probably A, not easy, but B, difficult to when you hear it happen. It's like, okay, I'm now going to be looking at a number of people who are not going to want to consider buying or selling something because they're afraid of everybody. How does that occur? How do you find things out that are going on in the real estate community other than by people who are already involved in a scam or a fraud that they're concerned about?
Really, it's been consumers bringing it to our attention. You know, I've had calls into our brokerage, for example, asking about, well, I saw this property in Craigslist, and, you know, I'm interested in buying it, and I'm supposed to pick up the key under the mat and leave the money there. So, and seriously.
Yeah, that's a serious, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know, I don't mean to laugh at that. It's like, I can't imagine anybody who has enough money to buy a piece of property who would think that would be a reasonable transaction to consider.
Well,
but obviously it's come up. Yeah.
There's been a lot of things on Craigslist. Craigslist is a source of entertainment. But there's so many things going on in the community that it's even difficult for industry professionals to know what's going on. So they have their clients asking them questions. They didn't have a place to go to find out, to get answers to these questions, and they themselves, you know, weren't aware necessarily of what was going on. So that's why ReSafe is such an important thing in the community, because now they have a place to go to clarify, okay, this shouldn't be going on, because there's so many gray areas, Fred, in real estate, and every transaction is, you know, unique. And so a bit like thumbprints, really. So we're a resource. We're a resource to the consumer. We're a resource to the industry professional that wants to be on top, stay on top, and help clean up the backyard, so to speak. Yeah.
We have a call. Let's see. Patrick in Arroyo Grande, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
If I go to resafe.com and I fill out a report, what happens, and can you explain that a little more for me?
You want to stay on the line, or can you take the answer off the phone?
I can take it off the phone.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Thanks for calling in.
That's a great question, actually. www.resafe.com has a page there where you can fill in the application for your complaint, and it takes you straight through to the DA's office. So that takes you right into their complaint area. So that complaint will go to where it needs to go. And you'll find a lot of other information on that website, such as where we're presenting, what kinds of things to look out for, red flag warning signs, lots of interesting information. People in the community that have been brought to court. And it also will take you into the DA's website as well. And we have a hotline referral number that people can call into, and that number is 866-749-2292.
Now, question, if you go to the website at resafe.com, can you find that phone number there?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
All right, so that works real well. What we will do after the program today, and actually it usually gets posted in the evening or first thing tomorrow morning, we'll make sure that on the narrative about the program on the KCBX website, if you go looking for this program, it'll show up as the most recent program on Central Coast Voices. We'll make sure that web address is a link on there, and then you can get it direct other information directly from that. And I'll remind you that the program that we are broadcasting right now will be available to you as a you can either download the program to have a file of it if you need it, or go listen to it for future details, and you can get that on kcbx.org. If you happen to be listening on the radio and you aren't getting a good signal for some reason where you are, you can also go to kcbx.org, because the program does live stream, so you can listen to it now, and that would be a way to listen to it if you or if you can't get it on your radio. I want to welcome you to the show. This is Central Coast Voices. I'm Fred Monroe, and we're talking about ReSafe today, an organization dealing with real estate fraud and scams in our community. You're welcome to give us a call at 781-3875. This is community radio, and as part of our community, we would like you to be part of the discussion. So give us a call if you'd like, 805-781-3875. Fred, if people put in a concern about something, is there, if it turns out that there's not a fraud, how does that get addressed? And let me maybe just give you a hypothetical example. I'm thoroughly convinced that the person who I'm trying to buy this piece of property from didn't get a termite inspection on it, even though they said they did, and I'm really afraid that that is going on. And I don't know if we'd actually classify that as a real estate fraud. That's just a bad transaction. How does that kind of thing get addressed?
That's a very broad question, but I'll try and answer it the best that I'm able to. If it was something along that line, I might contact Ruby or Joe to get their direction on which way to go. Meaning, who would I contact to try and get more information to answer that question? If it is something that I'm able to handle at my level, then I'll proceed with it. But quite often what I'll do is I'll use my resources, other agencies, other departments in our community to help out with those that answer or that issue.
Well, when Ruby talked about being able to fill out a form online, I think that's a very good tool because sometimes if people call you, they're concerned that the information they're giving out may not be clear or they may not have it really focused. So if they can type out a narrative for you to review, someone's going to review that and have it on paper. I think that's probably a good way to start. So can we agree that there's no request for information that shouldn't be presented if you have a concern about it? The worst that will happen is someone will say, this is really not a fraud issue. We can't address it. It's a legal issue. Contact your realtor, contact your attorney, contact your escrow company. But everybody should ask the question.
Absolutely. Oh, by all means, reporting is essential. And it's essential because if we don't hear from people in the community who are being approached by these people, then we don't know what's going on. The DA's office doesn't know what's going on. And even though it might be something small, if enough people phone in and they say, oh, this person approached me, then that person's name is going to get jotted down somewhere. And that we get enough phone calls on that, then somebody's going to take action.
Yeah. So we've got John in San Luis Obispo. Are you with us, John?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What are your thoughts or questions?
Well, I think one of the factors involved in perhaps the high rate in San Luis Obispo County is the enforcement side of things. I'm aware of a pretty publicized, rather large real estate fraud that went on in the North County, and the DA's office has dragged this thing out year after year. I think it's 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And there's no resolution to the situation. I understand these things are complicated, but the attorneys are all making money by the hour, and the DA is getting paid, and the court case just keeps getting extended and extended. And you know what they say about justice delayed is justice denied. And unless we're going to be working on the enforcement side, I think we're likely to still have a problem. And I'll take any comment off the air.
Okay. All righty, thanks. Before we get into that, I'll make it very clear, John, that I did talk with Fred before this, and one of the things that was a concern of his is that we can't talk about and he can't answer any questions about cases that are ongoing cases. So that may become a catch-22 because your concern may be based on ongoing cases. But, Fred, can you basically shed some light on his concern about whether or not things are getting done in a timely manner?
We have had a number of large cases similar to what John has described. We have also worked with the federal agencies that may be the avenue that his particular case went. I know that the large cases that we have and are conducting right now, we have several of them that have been prosecuted, and we are in the final stages of other portions that take place after the prosecution portion is complete.
Well, one of the things that I think we may be seeing happening or saw happening was we had a down economy. It is turning around. I think that Joe and Ruby are probably very happy among the rest of us that it's turning around because it affects your ability to have people buy and sell property, and that didn't make your life easy, I'm sure, for about 5 or 6 years at least. But some of these could probably be classified as they either were or are Ponzi schemes, which in some cases work real well as long as the economy's going up. The economy flattens out or goes down, all of a sudden your Ponzi scheme goes south real quick. So what can look like a non-fraudulent transaction becomes a scary situation. Is this only a problem we've seen because of the down economy, or was it a problem before the down economy?
That's a great question, Fred. And quite honestly, because the real estate went up so fast and to such peaks, it certainly did increase the scams out there. However, it's really important to note that just because the real estate market is changing doesn't mean fraud is going to disappear. the people, perpetrators, are so well versed, and it's unfortunate, but they just switch. They switch the game to suit the market. So I know there's a lot of people who feel now that the market has changed that we won't see as much fraud, and I wish that were true, but unfortunately the fraud just changes to suit the times.
Yeah, my thought is that you also have people, as the economy improves, people who may have more money available to invest than they had 5 years ago that are now thinking about, oh, gee, my investments were stagnating for a while during the down economy, so now I'm a little bit more chomping at the bit to get some things going.
And, you know, it's also about trust, and we're in a county where we're supposed to have the happiest people around, and everyone, you know, we feel like it's more like a big town. We tend to be very trusting, and unfortunately that doesn't always work in our favor.
Yeah, we have, I guess I can say this, and maybe that you folks can, and I know that Fred from the DA's office probably can't say this, but we've had people in the county who maybe have been in, or still have pending things that may have been involved in something that can be considered fraud, that were seen as pillars of the community until the economy went south.
Exactly.
There's somebody who I believe was the citizen of a year in one of the communities and very well regarded, and that was great as long as everybody around them was making money, but the economy went south, and all of a sudden the way things are going on were, in some cases, I believe, but things are still pending, seen as less than honorable. We'll get back. I don't want to keep Susan waiting too long. We have Susan in Arroyo Grande.
The park, right?
Hello?
Raceway.
Susan, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hang on. Okay. I'm here.
Okay. Well, you're on the air now, so.
There you go. Hi. Thanks for the show. It's the first time I'm a listener on this show, but I was just wondering if ReSafe was an organization that would get involved. As a property owner, I own about 3 homes in the Cambria area, which were being managed by a rental property manager for years, which sold his business, and we got completely scammed, and I believe there's a number of us that did, by the people who took it over. And we all did what we could for trying to go to the district attorney. We didn't get very far with that. We then went to the Department of Real Estate, who did look into our case and opposed a lot of us and had enough information that they have turned it into the district attorney. It's been about a year and a half now since this all started. It's been very slow going. Since it went over to the district attorney, I, like your other previous caller, haven't heard a word on where our case is standing, and it's very frustrating because many of us are out thousands of dollars, including our renters' deposits as well. And I just was wondering if I did contact the ReSafe people, if you guys as an organization would be able to help us.
Well, we can maybe get you some answers today. We have Fred Flum from the DA's office here as part of this discussion.
Okay.
And Fred, what are your comments?
I'm very familiar with what you have explained. And
okay.
I would like to talk with you, and I would appreciate if you gave our office a call, and if you could call our hotline, leave a message, and I can call you back.
Be very happy to.
Okay. I'll give you the phone number, and then you can also get it on the district attorney's website.
Okay.
And let me know when you're ready.
I am ready.
Okay. It's 781. Or area code 805-781-1053.
Oh, great. I've got that, and I will give you a call and really appreciate it.
Okay. Yes. Thanks for your call, Susan. No one should have to sit and wonder, but sometimes the legal process is quite slow. Thanks for your call.
And, Fred, I'd like to talk to that, if I might.
Go right ahead.
ReSafe works with both the DA's office and the FBI, and we've often had people approach us with that same concern that John phoned in with, that, my goodness, it's taking so long. What we need to really understand is that real estate fraud is all about chasing the paper trail. and they really can't take anything to court until they have enough to back up that court case. And going through the paperwork is a huge, huge job. When you're looking at going through the contracts, you have to get everything from the banks that were involved. It's just, it's huge. So unfortunately, you know, sometimes people think nothing's being done. And unfortunately, it does take several years. But believe me, things are being done.
I guess you have to get all the pieces together, because if they're not together, even though if I'm the one that's been dealt with fraudulently, I may know exactly who the perpetrator was, and I know the exact situation, but it becomes my word against theirs unless the DA's office and the FBI or whoever else is involved can get enough information together so it'll stand up in court.
Exactly. And there's quite often more than just one person, more than just one perpetrator. Quite often there's a ring. So all of those things have to be investigated, and none of us have enough people power. So it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, this may not fall in the category of a fraud or a scam, but I'm curious because I see this. Actually, there's a series of signs as I drive down El Camino. I live in Atascadero, and notice every once in a while, especially over by Home Depot, which is where people go to work on, buy stuff to work on their house and stuff like that, or over by Miners on the other end of town, signs that say, "We'll pay cash for your property." Now, it's interesting. I think the average person who will pay cash for property is probably not going to get a lot of business based upon a sign by the side of the road, but that is surprising. Is that a scam going on? Is that something that you're aware of?
There have been instances where people have come in and said, "Hey, I'll buy your property. I've got the contract right here. You don't need to pay a realtor. Just sign on the dotted line." And I would be extremely wary of doing that. Certainly, I would contact a real estate professional, because you want your interests taken care of. And also, those are usually aimed at people in distress, people who are upside down, having a difficult time making their payments, thinking maybe this is an easy way for me to get out, when in fact that there's a lot more to that situation. So they really want to be given the correct information before they transfer their
property.
You're
not legal advisors.
Exactly.
Correct. And I'd like to tag on to that a little bit, because as realtors, that is our job. And in each of the communities that we all serve, we're there for the community. We're there to help them, give them educated advice on their property values, how to market their property, what to do with their property. So, you know, there's a lot of us out there that at a phone call, we're there to help free of charge. Mm-hmm. And it's important that the public know that, rather than pick something up off of Craigslist or one of the signs that you talk about. Not that they may or may not be scams, but we are all, as realtors, we are regulated by the Bureau of Real Estate. And so we have things that we have to abide by. And so it's good for them to come to us to get that educated advice.
Yeah. Are the large ones that have made the media, I mean, a number of major suits, some people are in federal prison, some people are out of state waiting for a lot of legal transactions to take place, that we would may consider them fraudulent people. I got to be careful what words I use and who I infer. But when we move some of those three or four big transactions out of the mix, we still have a problem in this county. What is it about this county that makes it? You mentioned before that we may just be too friendly, and I don't think we should consider ourselves ever too friendly, but we're just too accepting, I guess, in a lot of cases.
I think we've talked about that in the past, and I think that's it. I've lived in the county for 17 years, and we are a very accepting, trusting county, and you hate to think that you have to change the way we live, but we just have to be more proactive about how we take care of our investments.
And we've also got demographics, not so much as Santa Maria in terms of Hispanic-speaking people, but they certainly are targeted, and also retired people. who sometimes have, you know, a little nest egg put aside. So in our county, we do have a lot of retirees, and that's a big welcome sign to a lot of perpetrators, unfortunately. So not always knowing the correct procedures with real estate, people can quite easily be taken in. And, for example, we've got a lot of students here looking for places to rent. Mm-hmm. And it's been brought to our attention that there's real issues around that. So there's people out there collecting your social insurance number, taking the deposit on a house that they don't own.
There was actually a situation in the neighborhood where I live where there was a vacant piece of property that was in foreclosure, but the owners that were being foreclosed upon had moved out about 6 months before. This is 4 years ago, but it's still very fresh in my mind. And we believe somebody was basically renting it out to people by, you can rent a bedroom for $200 a month, and all of a sudden we ended up with six or eight people there. It looked very reasonable that, gee, somebody's having trouble with their property, so they've rented it out, until we realized that some of those people were starting to take the house apart. Mm-hmm. And so is there a... You know, a lot of rentals are just face-to-face with the people who own the property, and some people own scores of rentals, some people own one or two. How are you assured, because, a rental transaction is generally not going to be going through a realtor unless you're dealing with a property management company specifically that handles all of them. How are you assured that the person who's renting you the property has title to the property? Is there an easy way to ask for that information?
Well, it's not easy, but you can certainly always go to public records. So you can go down to the county office and research that. However, most people aren't probably, that's not going to be the first thing that comes to mind or they want to do. Certainly, we've heard of instances from our newest member on the board, who CJ Tanum, and she deals with rentslow.com. And the issues that have been coming up are you pay the deposit before you even see the property. That's definitely a no-no. You want to make sure see the property. Be very careful about giving out your Social Security number. Now, there's a lot of competition in getting places, and so that's why some of the young people are quite eager to put their application in with the deposit check. Is there a straight through on this? Not really, and that's what makes it really complicated. It doesn't hurt to phone a property management company, and it doesn't hurt to go to rentslow.com, because she has some very good comments on that website about how to protect yourself. So I would highly recommend that.
Because in the economy right now, it's not a secret. So, and I'm not looking at this from a standpoint of because I own the property. I happen to, with my wife, have an interest in one three-unit residence that's three apartments, basically. I am surprised this year we have one vacancy that came up that we needed to address. We got more inquiries about that in the first 24 hours that we had an ad out than we've ever had before. We've owned the property for about 5 or 6 years. And the comment we're getting back from a lot of people is there's not enough rental out here. Renters are desperate. And I think that my thought is, as we do this program, that opens up the potential for fraud. Because doggone it, if I'm seeing that, and now I'm a little afraid to say this over the air. Gee, I saw too many people looking for rentals than we've ever seen before, because people are desperate to find a place to live. That's going to mean there's going to be more fraud.
Yes,
and yes, it does. And I have people coming into my office all the time looking for rentals, and I tell them the same thing as what you just said is. It's tough. You've got to call each of the property management companies, put your name out there, and be really diligent in searching. But you'll get the comments back, well, we'll do just about anything to get a house here. And so that's where it steps in. When you start hearing
when
that,
when you'll do anything, that's tough.
Then it opens up the door, because they want so badly to live in the area. So
it's tough.
And the problem with with that scam, or those scams rather, is they don't just get your deposit. They may never even have a place to rent, even though they don't own it. But they also get your Social Security number.
So then there's more chance of fraud. Yes. And a copy of your credit report in those cases, so they get a lot of information about you. Fred, do you deal a lot with those type of scams too, or?
I wouldn't say a lot, but it is something that does come to our office, and I do investigate. And if there is enough information or evidence to show that we can file, charges against somebody, we do.
We were looking at one of the things that we, of course, ask whenever we're putting this program together, because we cover from Carpinteria all the way to at least Soledad or Salinas, what's going on in different counties. I was surprised to hear that there is not a program in Monterey County at the present time that you know of, and that there was a program out of Santa Maria that is since, I guess it was run a lot like yours. It was just basically an act of good faith among the broader community, but that's not available. Will you deal with the Santa Maria area? Because you're generally an information source, so people from Santa Maria at least can still work with you.
By all means, yes. If they call our hotline referral number, we'll be more than happy to help them out, because a lot of our realtors work in Santa Barbara County as well as San Luis Obispo County. So fraud has legs. So if there's fraud in Santa Barbara or Ventura, you know it's going to land up here. And unfortunately, when you don't have a fraud task force, it just makes it a really nice soft landing spot for those perpetrators. So we're trying to educate as much as we can. And just a quick word, Fred. Sometimes when people have had an incident where they have been scammed, they feel embarrassed. And they think, oh, I never thought this would happen to me. How could I have been, so thoughtless to let this happen? These perpetrators are good at what they do. And they've taken many people in. So please don't feel embarrassed, and please report it. Because it's only through them reporting it that we find out and that we can actually start taking action with it.
Yeah, because if I don't tell you what happened to me, they're going to get somebody else. Even though I'm afraid that, gee, my kids are going to think I'm real stupid with money, and they're going to start managing my money for me, and I'm still young enough to do this, and doggone it, I don't want somebody getting in the way, so I can't tell.
Exactly.
And that gets real expensive.
And they count on that, too.
Yeah, and it shouldn't matter the amount of money either, because one of the things that we're going to find out with a lot of these scams is they'll go for the smaller increments, and they'll just hit 100 people. So it's really important to think that it's not about the $50,000 or the $100,000 or the $500,000 items, but it's the smaller ones, because they go down the road and they just keep doing it, and
if I can get an advance renter deposit from 100 people for $500,
exactly,
there's a good chance you aren't going to catch me very fast, and that's going to be a lot easier to do than trying to scam somebody for $100,000.
And most people will write off $500 and not worry about reporting it.
Exactly, yeah.
It's an unfortunate thing to hear, so please talk to people. And talk to the DA's office, and we'll give you in a few minutes. Well, we can give it again. The website is resafe.com. And Ruby, why don't you give the phone number again one more time?
Phone number is 866-749-2292. And if you leave your name and your phone number, brief explanation, someone will call you back within 24 hours. And then they will help you, refer you to where you need to go, and then they will follow up to make sure that your needs are taken care of. Yeah.
And you also do some speaking programs besides come to us on the radio. I think I first heard about this when somebody from your organization talked to the Adult Services Policy Council about a year ago about some things that were going on. So you go out to other organizations and talk about it?
Oh, we certainly do. Whoever would like to invite us, please let us know, and we will be more than happy to do a presentation to your group. Yeah.
We have some time left. I want to remind you folks that you can still give us a call, 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. This is KCBX Community Radio at 90.1 in San Luis Obispo and kcbx.org if you want to get us on the web. And this program will be available on the web. Actually, you can listen right now to the program. And then the minute the program's over, it actually is available for someone to review. So if there was something that you missed that you wanted some information about. We didn't talk about this, and it comes up in my mind as something that I think used to be a scam, but I'm now hearing is not as big a scam, but I'm sure it's still a problem, and that is reverse mortgages. Are reverse mortgages, have they been adequately addressed as a concern that people are now not getting burned on those, or is that still an ongoing problem?
Well, I haven't personally heard of people being scammed by reverse mortgages. Have you, Joe?
No, and I think there's a lot of good companies out there right now, especially
yes.
locally, that are doing reverse mortgages that are very reliable. So I haven't heard of anything.
Just as long as you know that the person you're dealing with is credible, mm-hmm. is licensed, is for real, that's really the main thing.
Over the last 4 or 5 years, I believe there's more hoops that the mortgage company has to jump through as far as who can and cannot get a reverse mortgage and what it entails.
Yes, yep. They're really legislated. Mm-hmm. Lots of rules to abide by.
Can we give a list, or is there any list we can provide to our listeners that will give us an idea of what specific types of things you have seen most recently in the community? Obviously, you see everything, but I don't know if there's things that have shown up, Fred, in the last year or so that are becoming more prevalent and people may have not thought about. Are there any types of scams that when they happen become like, my gosh, I never thought such a thing existed, but it's out there?
One in particular that is similar to the Craigslist, there was an eBay auction where property was purchased that was not for sale and was sold a number of times. Somebody won a beachfront property and paid $1,500 in San Luis Obispo County. And there's not too many pieces of property in San Luis Obispo County, let alone beachfront property that you can purchase for. So
this person thought they were getting a piece of property clear of any other obligations for $1,500?
Yes, they won the auction and purchased the property.
Again, maybe this is an editorial comment I shouldn't make, but I will. I can't imagine anybody who even remotely has an extra $1,500 that is that naive to believe you could buy any property in San Luis County for $1,500. Please don't call me.
But, you know, the thing to remember with eBay is that it goes all around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it was another country, person from another country. So they're not familiar with the landscape over here and probably thought it was.
Actually, there were three different victims that purchased these properties in San Luis.
Were any of them local?
No.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't think that that would be a factor. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd all be buying it for that price.
there are some. I mean, you find some great deals. You may find a property in foreclosure that a bank wants to really move. That is a good deal. Obviously, not everything is a bad deal. Sometimes appreciation of property helps the current owner. Sometimes depreciation of property helps the person who wants to buy it. So that doesn't mean everything that's a deal is a bad deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you do to educate the realtor community? Is there some training program that you offer to other realtors so they understand what's going on out there? Because I'm sure there are ways in which realtors can get hooked into a transaction. If I were a scammer, I may be able to find a realtor who is is working hard to troll for business, and obviously you want to do some work to build your clientele. But all of a sudden, I find a way to say, "Gee, help me do this." And in my mind, as a scammer, I've gotten some more legitimacy because I found a licensed realtor to help me. So that's something I suspect you have to work with in your community.
We certainly do, because it's not always clear cut when something's going on. There's no definite signs that, oh, you just get a sense of this is not feeling right. So what we do is we go out to the associations. Every association has a meeting, and we speak at the association meetings to the professionals there. And with the forum was open to both the consumers, the public, as well as the professionals in the industry. So any way we can get out to the professionals in the industry, we're there. And it's usually through presentations of some kind or another, rotary meetings or, you know, meetings in the community that realtors belong to, as well as through the associations.
And if people have, if something's going on, if I have, let's say, my parents living in an area out of the area here, and I have found I think something's going on there. So if I'm local here and I contact you and say, gee, I've discovered that, you know, my mom in Visalia may be involved in something that's a little scary, the resources that are available, you can help us track down where we can get help in other communities.
Most certainly, yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, I guess, the one in Ventura, I forgot the name of it.
Refat. Is an excellent resource.
They worked with you guys to get started.
Oh, they were wonderful. They really helped us get up on our feet. And they were the first of the real estate fraud task forces in California, I think nationwide, actually, and have been very supportive to other counties, because it's only if we have task forces in each county that we can really start supporting each other as a network and preventing it from being a soft landing place.
So the recurring theme here is if it seems too good to be true, it's probably way too good to be true. If it seems remotely too good to be true, it's probably way too good to be true. And you have to report what happens.
Please report what happens. And just things like, you know, if people are saying to you, oh, you don't have to come into the office, don't worry about it, I'll come over and help you fill out that paperwork. You know, you want to always read through everything you sign. You want copies of everything you sign. You want to know that this person is licensed. And you certainly, if they're asking for a power of attorney or if it's anything to do with trust deeds, the recorder's office in San Luis Obispo County now sends out a notice whenever there's a transfer of property, because there have been instances where properties have transferred title, mm-hmm. without the previous owner even being aware of it. So now their way
Shocking.
Of dealing with that yeah. is to send out notices. So everyone knows, okay, you know, the property that I own has now been transferred into another name.
And you mentioned earlier, and this may be something a lot of people don't know, but that if you want to find out who is the legal owner of a piece of property, that's an open public record for which you don't have to pay a fee to find out at the county recorder's office.
No fee.
Okay. And let's see, there's a county recorder's office in Atascadero.
Yes.
And there's one in San Luis Obispo. Yep. And for Santa Barbara County, there's one in Santa Maria, one
yes.
in Santa Barbara, and I'm yep. not sure where else there is one.
Yep.
I'm not sure if there's one in King City for Monterey County, but if someone wants some help with some information on that, if they contact you on your website.
Yes. If people have questions or they're feeling uneasy about something or they're just not sure, please do call.
Fred, you, the DA's office has a hotline also. You want to repeat that again so people know about?
Yes. Our hotline number is area code 805-781-1053. And if you feel that you are or have been a victim of crime, please visit our website. We have a brochure there. We also have a complaint form. So if you are, you can read through the complaint form and then send it into our office.
And based on some of the comments from some callers, the legal process doesn't always move as fast as we want, but sometimes a thorough activity takes time. So for the people who called in that had some concerns about some cases, they feel like the DA's office may not be moving fast enough. You've mentioned that they can call you and find out more information.
Yes. John, if you're still listening, please call the hotline, and I'll be more than happy to speak with you.
Yeah. Jody, we have a couple of minutes left. Any thoughts about what's really important people know to be safe?
Yeah, you know, for me, I think the most important thing is to know that we're a group of professionals that have taken it upon ourselves to help the community. And I think that's one of the things that is a benefit of our community is we do have trust. We do have people who care about each other. And what I would say to you folks is that if you have a neighbor, if you've got anybody that's in your family that you think is involved with something that doesn't sound right, get involved. Don't just let them sign something. Don't let them walk away from something because somebody has promised them or they've given money to something. Get involved. You know, watch out for your neighbor.
And as I think about it, as a property owner that has some rental property, it occurred to me that if you want to come rent a piece of property, talk to the people. If it's a multi-unit situation, talk to people who already live there. And if the owner says to you, you can't talk to any of my tenants, that should be a red flag.
Absolutely.
That's an excellent comment.
Yeah. So between being able to call the hotline or send in a report to the DA's office if you're concerned about something, and just stay aware, and anything that comes up that seems too good to be true is definitely too good to be true. And that... That's a recurring theme, I'm sure.
Yes.
That's I wonder, I have to Google that phrase and see how far back that phrase was invented and became possible. And we'll probably discover it was probably about 11 or 1200 somebody came up with a way to look at that.
And Fred, so. if anyone would like to invite ReSafe out to speak, please do give us a holler on our hotline or contact us on the website, and Joe or Patrick or myself would be happy to come out and speak to the group.
Okay. We'll make sure that by no later than tomorrow morning, we'll have the contact numbers and the website, especially for you, because the website's an easy thing to just click on. There'll be a link, and so you can pull it back up so we can go from there, too. We've been talking today about ReSafe, a wonderful organization that's backed by both the DA's office and the real estate community to try and make sure that you don't get scammed, because as we said earlier in the program, San Luis Obispo County is the number one county in the state of California for real estate scams. And we appreciate my guests today, Ruby, Joe, and Fred, being here to talk about this. I want to remind you that this is Central Coast Voices, which is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is part of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. We're looking at things that we can do to help your life be better on the Central Coast and improve the quality of life for today and tomorrow. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here talking with folks from the San Luis Obispo County Bicycle Coalition and San Luis Obispo Regional Rideshare, along with a transportation planning staff member from the city of San Luis Obispo, because May is Bike Month and they want to talk about that. Your input about Central Coast Voices is very helpful to us also. You can contact Action for Healthy Communities and come up with suggestions for this program at voices@kcbx.org. You can also give us a call at 805-543-2323. I want to thank KCBX for helping us put this program on. I want to thank the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo for helping us come up with the resources to put this together. And I, of course, wanted to thank my guests today, Ruby Raymond, Joe Prien, and Fred Flum, for being here to talk about this. Coming up next on KCBX is This American Life, one of my favorite programs with Ira Glass. And that'll be coming up in just a moment. This has been Central Coast Voices. Thank you for joining us today.